News with Nick, starting 10 minutes before the Facebook event, said, because I'm ready, and you know what? I don't know what we're going to do. Anyway, so we might as well start the show. I've started the video version of the show. If you want to see the video version, go to newswithnick.com and click on the episode and get the unedited version, where sometimes I pause and I edit stuff out, or a cat is throwing up in the background. Anything could happen. But in the video version, I don't bother to edit. And so you get that on the website, right? It is the show. It's brought to you by the Puke and the Gang, soon to be named something else, Podcast Network, right, everyone? We're naming the show's changing sometime in the next 28 years. This time last year, we weren't doing many shows. Well, actually, I don't do many shows anyway, but this time last year, there was like a several-month hiatus because I moved my computer and everything downstairs, and because the heat was so bad. So right now, it's 84 degrees upstairs, and that's actually not as bad as it could be, and we'll get to why shortly. However, I had everything downstairs all of last year, so I really didn't even do a show, but if you see the video version, I'm wearing almost no clothes at all because it is so warm up here. But the thing is, we got to get back with this show to our roots. I wish we could, where when I first launched the show, I said, you know what? The news show, it's going to be Nick goes on CNN or MSNBC, and we just read the top stories. Doesn't matter if you've already heard the story. Doesn't matter if everyone's already heard the story. We're just going to read the stories and go over them. Except something happened in 2016 where this guy, Trump, was like, I'm running for president. Everyone's like, that's a joke. And then we were like, that's a pretty funny joke. Let's report on this. Only problem was then he started doing well and all of the news was about him. And it's only been about Trump for the last 3 years. Big whoop. So speaking of big news, Trump sets foot in North Korea. Do you guys see this? He went to South Korea and then he went a little bit north to that line that they have between North and South Korea called the demilitarized zone. And when I was a kid, they said, that's no man's land. So what I really thought it was just a mile long of just desert and bugs. And like no one was allowed there at all. But apparently it's like, I don't know who owns it actually, because I'm kind of an idiot. It's just an area where they're like, okay, we're going to agree that we'll be a mile apart so that we can't get under the border and start fighting each other. So Trump goes to the North Korean border from the demilitarized zone and he goes, hello, Kim Jong-un, can you come out to play? Are you in there? And Kim Jong-un goes, oh, I hear my friend at the door. So he runs down and he says hello. They shake hands in the demilitarized zone. And then Kim Jong-un goes, do you want to come on over to North Korea? And Trump says, sure. And so he goes on over. And if you watch the video, it's very funny because all of the photographers are just sprinting across the border to take photos and then sprinting back across the border the other direction as they come back. Like, it's a real, real hustle and bustle. So no one really knows what they think of this. President Trump, the first sitting president to ever enter North Korea and shake Kim Jong-un's hand. Now, Jimmy Carter went to North Korea in like 94. I don't think he shook Kim Jong-un's hand, but he did hang out with like whoever, one of the leaders back then anyway. Speaking of Trump, I get his ads on Facebook sometimes like, we're going to need your help coming up to the new election. Come on over to our website. We'd like to have a we'd like to take a poll of what you think of how the president's doing. We'd like to get a real honest opinion. So here's what the president's poll looks like. Who would you trust more to protect America from foreign and domestic threats? Your choices, President Trump or a corrupt Democrat? This is from DonaldJTrump.com, the official website of the president. Who would you rather handle our nation's economy, President Trump or a radical socialist Democrat? The other choices, and all the other questions are a lying Democrat, a high-tax Democrat, a sleazy Democrat, a lying Democrat, a low-energy Democrat, a low-IQ Democrat, or a radical socialist Democrat. Wait, he already had that one. They already had that one. They reused Radical Socialist Democrat. All right, that's it. I'm out. And then you type your name, and they email you, and they say, thanks for signing up on Trump.com. You guys know that if you want to go to North Korea, you can go. So you can get on these tours. They take you to the hotel, and apparently you just have to stick with your official tour guide 24/7, and if you take any photos, they get to look at your phone and make sure that you didn't take any photos of the military. The other way to get there is by running the Pyongyang Marathon. Ooh, let's take a look at this. For 2020, the race is a return course, with the route being run through the city center. Runners will go past many of the iconic buildings, monuments, and streets of Pyongyang. I know that I said Pyongyang before, and I don't actually know how to pronounce it. Before heading out into the countryside, just outside the urban center, before running back again. This route, blah, 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 which is certified, blah, 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 gives runners a chance to see more of the capital than previous years, and also allows more interaction with people along the course, as it takes in more parts of the city than ever before. All four amateur races, the 10K, 5K, half marathon, and full marathon, will start and finish inside Kim Il-sung Stadium, including a final lap of the stadium track. Everyone participating will get a chance to finish in front of 50,000 people. Oh, sorry, in front of a 50,000 strong capacity crowd of local Koreans. So the stadium will not be full. There will just be 50,000 empty seats. After the race is finished, the top three, blah, 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 blah. So you can go to North Korea if you're going to run the race. Apparently what you have to do is book one of the marathon tours. So you can leave from Shanghai, Beijing, Budget. Oh, wait. The Budget is not a city. That's just called Budget Tours. And so you can leave from Shanghai or Beijing. Apparently you have to get there. And then you fly in. And you got to stick with your group. Now, what if someone like slept in on the last day? Like, man, I'm super tired from this marathon. And then they wake up like, oh, looks like I slept in. Hopefully I didn't miss the flight out of North Korea. And you go, oh, I did. Well, Kim Jong-soon is the best? Hello? And then he's stuck there until the next marathon, right? It's a good premise for a movie. You guys ever check out James Holzhauer's Twitter? He tweeted today a couple times. He said that someone on Twitter has tweeted him and said, wow, you're really good at Jeopardy, tweets, and gambling. And James says, wow, what a great set of things to be good at. Earlier down, he retweets someone who says, control my body like James Holzhauer controls the Jeopardy board. And James says, hey, sometimes it's okay to start at the top and work your way down. Wow, dirty James. Next story on CNN.com. James Holzhauer, disgusting on Twitter. So head on over, subscribe to his Twitter. He is constantly posting updates. He did just play in the World Series of Poker, which is going on right now. He used to be one of those poker players online, and now he is just a sports gambler, as you guys know. But he played in the World Series of Poker, which is going on in Vegas, and did not do very well at all. Let's see what the chat says. What a fantastic poll from Trump. Yeah, right? Let's see what else is going on. So the last show that we did, I had a little catastrophe with the roof, right? And when I was doing the show, it was literally a day and a half after it had occurred. If you want to go back, you should check that out. My entire roof started leaking because they, I believe, put the wrong material on the underlayment, and then thought, like, these three nice men who may not have the best English communication skills assumed or thought or were told that, hey, this is waterproof, so it's okay if it's going to rain later, just leave it. Which doesn't make any sense, because the whole point of what's called the ice and water shield on a roof is that that part's the waterproof part. That boosts the waterproof ability of certain parts of the roof, and then you just put the normal underlayment on the other parts. If it was all waterproof, what the heck's the point of the super stuff, right? I guess you could say, oh, it's thicker. Yeah, but anyway. So my whole roof leaks, destroys everything in the attic, all the insulation, and I almost lose the like a whole ton of stuff. But through my dedication of staying up all night and drying out parts that were getting super wet before it could soak all the way through the ceiling, didn't destroy everything. Now, if I'd really wanted it to, I should have like pointed the water toward my mattress and been like, oh, guess my mattress got ruined. I'm going to need a new one. That was like $1,500. Or I could have just brought more water into the attic and just started dumping it right over my bedroom. Right? So I didn't do that. So here's what occurred. They came out, like I said, the next day, promised they were going to fix everything the next Tuesday or Monday, whatever. They came. They did blow in a bunch of insulation in my attic, and now I go up there, and it looks like it's a snowstorm. You can't, if I were to walk anywhere in my attic now, I'm pretty sure that just flakes of fiberglass would be stuck to me and my lungs. So I'm not sure how that's supposed to occur, but apparently this is like something that, like, apparently all houses have this, like blown in insulation. Anyway, so that worked great. And promptly, a couple days later, one of the lights in my bathroom overheated and it shut off. And I'm like, uh-oh, that's bad. And you're like, oh, it's just the bulb. No, I switched out the bulb. And then several minutes later, it cooled off enough and it turned back on. And I looked this up. It's one of those, like, if you have recessed lighting, it will have this trigger that if it overheats, it will turn off. So I'm like, oh, great. The new insulation is so good that all my lights are overheating now. Well, just switched those out with LEDs, which put out much less energy and much less heat, and that's fixed as well too. So we got that. And then I called the guy and I'm like, all right, so thanks for fixing my stupid attic, thanks for repainting my ceilings, which are still kind of crappy. How much money are you going to take off the final price? I think you should take like $150 an hour times 10 hours minimum. And he's like, we'll take off $1,000. Which isn't, so that's not enough. That's like 1500. Well, that's not as much as I asked for, let's say. But then I said, fine, I'm not going to go to court over $500. I literally did tell him that. Like, I'm not going to go to court over $1,500 or over $500. So if that's what you're giving me, let's finish it up and be done with it. So that's the end of the story of the roof. Maybe. So now I have a new roof. Let's see, what else? I was running the other day. And I normally do this thing where I'm running and I look for cars and you'll try to make contact with the person's face to make sure they're looking at you. This is especially risky if someone is turning right onto a road and you're running from their right, because normally drivers will only look to the left. They'll be waiting for a car to come, and if no one's coming, they'll gun it and they'll pull out. But I didn't look at the lady. I just looked at the car and she was stopped for like a longer amount of time than normal, like she'd seen me. So I run out in front of this SUV, and normally whenever I'm running anyway, I'm just looking at the car or the tires to see if it will start moving. To my surprise, it starts moving, and like pretty quickly, and I jump and I spin to my right. Whew.
Like this.
And the SUV barely misses me and then speeds off down the road. And this guy saw it. And he was like, whoa, that was a pretty good roll out of the way. And I said, yeah, that's the closest I've ever come. Good story. Mountain of Hell has a huge crash. This is Mountain of Hell 2019. It is a race where a whole bunch of bikers just start at the top of a mountain. An error occurred. Something's going on with YouTube right now. This is really bad. So a whole bunch of riders head down this mountain. It's made of ice and snow, and they're all on bikes. So they start at the top, and it's like 1,000 riders heading down the hill. Horrible crash occurs. Uh-oh. One trips, and then trips right into another. And then, oh, 25 people are crashing. Now, like, 50 or more. This probably is not good for an audio show. Yikes, what a mess that this show is, and also this crashes. Now they all look like they're ants just coming to a slow stop. Anyway, but what this looks like from the point of view of a rider is just this. It's basically just a 15-mile bike ride through several different terrains. Good story. Protesters shut down the San Francisco Pride Parade for a couple minutes. Pride is now over. You cannot be proud for another 11 months. Protesters brought the San Francisco Pride Parade to a halt shortly after it started Sunday, lying down in Marcus Street at 6th Street and chanting, F the police. Wait a minute. So you're saying that these were not anti-gay protesters? No, they weren't. That'd be funny if they were. If it was just the church, I was like, no, do not march. The parade was halted for about 50 minutes until 12:01 p.m. when the protesters agreed to leave. The group of protesters had their arms linked and demanding there be no police or corporations at the event. They displayed a banner that read, queer and trans against cops and corpse, as police pushed to get them out of the way of the parade. Police said in a statement that the protesters broke down barricades and threw water bottles at them. The members of Abolish ICE San Francisco handed out a letter of demands calling for San Francisco Pride to exclude police and pointing out the hypocrisy they see in inviting police to celebrate the anniversary of a clash with cops. These protesters have a great point. They're like, hey, so you're doing your stupid parade. You're doing your parade. It's stupid or fine, depending who you ask. But you guys keep inviting the enemies of us, the police, to it. So let's read the letter. 1 year ago, Abolish ICE San Francisco occupied the ICE building in San Francisco to protest their terror and prevent deportations for an entire week. ICE is the immigration enforcement people. So apparently there's a group in San Francisco protesting them. This community of children, families, workshops, a library, and a garden came to an end when the San Francisco police, in the middle of the night, firing rubber bullets and brutally arresting queer and trans people, ripping couples apart, and then kept their atrocious acts hidden from the community. Just this weekend, outside El Rio in San Francisco, police arrested, brutalized, and bruised a transgender person attempting to film them, harassing a community member. Too many years, San Francisco Pride has chosen to ignore the asks for a safer Pride free from police. They care more about pleasing corporate interests and hosting massive parties than listening to LGBTQ2S communities and keeping them safe. That's a new one. No longer can we sit on the sidelines as San Francisco Pride pretends to celebrate generations of resistance on the 50th anniversary of the fight against police violence. We call on the true generations of resistance, including the Compton's cafeteria riots, to stand here today and end this hypocrisy and demand true support and liberation for our communities. Blah, 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 blah. Current list of demands. No police within the Pride Parade and no police presence at any Pride celebration, march, or demonstration. Permanently remove police foot patrols from Compton's transgender cultural district. The system of policing upholds white supremacy, heteropatriarchy, gender binaries, and capitalist rule. Compton has a transgender cultural district? I wonder what goes on there. Immediately release trans people currently sitting in jail, blah, 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 yes. No corporations at Pride. They profit from our communities while simultaneously exploiting, investing, and benefiting from the prison industrial complex. Celebrate, center, and protect the most marginalized within the LGBTQ2S community, black and brown trans women. Ensure the Pride Board includes and prioritizes the decisions of black trans women. Wait, this is not related to the police at all. People with disabilities, formerly incarcerated people, blah, blah, blah. immediately end the harassment and sweeps of homeless encampments. Make Pride accessible for disabled communities. We need more wheelchair space, more seating space, as well as paid volunteers to support accessibility needs. You can be gay and in a wheelchair? What? Acknowledge that the colonialization of the land, colonization of the land we host Pride upon, and acknowledge that San Francisco is native territory. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name of the native tribe. Anyway, so, yeah. Bunch of pro-gay pride, anti-gay pride police go to the parade, protest their own parade to make a point. So many sides to this. You never know what's going on. As everyone knows, I've been working at a new job, and with the new job comes cool, new, fun tech support stories. This girl comes up to our office. She says, "My mouse, it's been working real weird." And so my coworker takes the case and tries a couple things, updates the drivers, gives it back to her. She says, "It's still working weird. As soon as I go back to my desk and I close my laptop, and the mouse just doesn't work right." He takes it back. He like completely reinstalls Windows. He goes, "I don't know what's going on. I can't track down the problem." I go, "You should probably just look into like a hardware issue first. It sounds like just something weird with the touchpad is going on." He's like, "I don't know. I'm going to completely reinstall Windows." So he completely reinstalls Windows and gives it back to her. Says, "There's no way it can't be fixed now." She goes back to her desk. She comes back. She goes, "My mouse is broken. As soon as I get back to my desk, I set up the laptop, I close the lid, and it doesn't work." Right. I mean, it works, like it responds a little bit, but it doesn't work right. It doesn't click well. And I go, "Let me take a look." I look at it, and I go, "Oh, I see the problem immediately." What she had done is she had taken her laptop and, like a good little libertarian, had stuck one of those privacy screens over her webcam so that the government couldn't track her by hacking her PC. And every time she closed the lid, that privacy plastic was pressing against her right-click button. Ba-dum-ba-dum. I was also at work. I mean, it's just a coincidence that this happened while I was at work. But this week, I was just sitting at my desk, and I was going, "Huh. You know, I wonder what my PIN is. Like, I've known my PIN for my ATM for 2 years. And I go, I wonder what it is. Uh-oh. I really wonder what it is. Like, for 2 years, I've just typed it in. And I never thought this would happen to me. I always made fun of people who were like, "Oh, my muscle memory types in my PIN. I don't even have to remember it." But as soon as I thought of it and I went, "What is my PIN?" I forgot it. And I couldn't remember it again. And then, like the next day, I still couldn't remember it. So I went to an ATM and I just started punching in what I thought it was, and none of them went through, and I locked myself out of my account. So I got to go into the bank and be like, "I locked myself out of my stupid ATM account. Like, I'm one of them now. I'm one of the idiots." And a nice lady at the bank says, "I can take care of you, Nick. Come on over here." And I go, "Great. Here's my ID to prove who I am, that this really is me." And she goes, "I don't need your ID. You don't recognize me?" And I go, "Nope." She goes, "Ah, I'm Juan's wife. Juan is a guy I used to work with for several years at the old job, and I obviously would have met his wife several times at like company functions." I'm like, "Nope. That's what happens when you have face blindness." Speaking of that, I watched the Escape Room movie, and a lot of people have complained about that movie because there's a scene at the very beginning that may or may not partially spoil like something later in the movie. The fact that you see something in the first scene makes other stuff in the movie like more predictable. But jokes on them, I didn't even recognize the same guy that the guy in the beginning was possibly a guy from later on. So hopefully that didn't spoil it for anyone who's listening to this. If you want, just fast forward through the first 2 minutes of Escape Room, that opening scene. You know, like how in Saw they used to go, "Hard open, oh, we're tied up and there's a buzzsaw coming for us. Oh, no. Right. They'd had that, only it wasn't as relevant at all. Like, it didn't set the scene, really. It was just a flash forward. All right, let's cover this guy. Man, he's so cool. Orlando father wears short shorts to teach daughter a dress code lesson. I saw this on the news as a fluff piece, and then I did some more research for you idiots. You could call it the daddy dress code, but without a doubt, a local father's video addressing what his daughter wears in public is making the rounds. This is from 2 weeks ago. It's one of the latest viral videos. It's not. It wasn't. It was only when the news picked it up and said, look at this funny video, and then other news picked it up from them. I guess that maybe that's how everything works. But like, I didn't see this shared. I didn't see this shared organically, is what the term is. This was not shared on Twitter like the dress. This was not shared on Facebook like Yanny Laurel. It wasn't spoken about on a podcast like, I don't know, anything. The laughter started soon after local father Jason Hilly walked into the room. He was wearing short shorts in an effort to prove his point. I feel that humor brings more to discipline than yelling or screaming and all that. All right, let's watch the video. Skip ahead and see if we can... Oh, here's the girl. Here's the girl. We're going to get an interview from her.
It worked.
I understand it. I mean, I think the short shorts was a surprise. I didn't really think that he would do that, but I think that he got his point across, and I understand it very well now.
What point? What point? We got to skip back.
That he felt showed too much daughter, so he put on his own.
I will pick you up in school every day with these on if you don't put them on.
And asked her to join him to model each pair.
She has a pair of short shorts, and I need to get my point across. I will wear a pair of short shorts. So, you know, kind of a little tit for tat on the clothing idea.
The thinking is that neither would like the other short shorts. It worked.
I understand it. I mean, I think the short shorts was a surprise. I didn't really think that he would do that, but I think that he got his point across, and I understand it very well now.
From someone in Germany wanting to put it out, Kenya, Australia.
The way the video spread surprised him big time.
Oh my gosh, this video has 30 million views. You're famous now.
When the video started rocketing around the world, there were a few people who commented that perhaps Hilly was shaming his daughter. Something he never intended, something she never felt.
Yeah, well, let's see what he said again, because I wasn't listening at all. They said, people said he was shaming his daughter.
Shaming his daughter.
It's 30 million views. You're famous now.
When the video started rocketing around the world, there were a few people who commented that perhaps Hilly was shaming his daughter. Something he never intended, something she never felt.
She'll be the first to tell you, I do not shame my kids. We just have a lot of fun together and laugh. We laugh at each other.
I found it so ridiculous because we were just having fun with it and people just come in and just start hating on it for no reason when there was nothing to hate on.
A lifetime memory. In Orange County, Dave McDaniel, West 2 News.
Oh, yeah? Well, how would I have a show if I didn't hate on it? Also, these idiots let their house burn down several years ago. I was trying to do some more research on them, found their GoFundMe. My brother Jason, wife Allison, and their two kids lost everything last night in a house fire. Thankfully, while they were sound asleep, their neighbor saw it and woke them up and got everyone out safely. God was definitely looking over them. Any amount will help. They will need to replace everything, from toiletries, clothes, shoes, everything. As we know, there are some things that cannot be replaced. Just thankful my family is okay. He got $16,000 from that. So that's actually kind of sad. Sorry your house burned down. Hopefully they had insurance for that. All right, let's watch the full video of Jason Hilly entering his daughter's room.
Kendall.
All right, he opens the door. He's got his son with him. He's walking through the door. He's got these shorts on that are 70% up from his knee to his waist, let's say.
We have to have a talk.
Kendall, we have to have a talk. She's sitting on the bed laughing and covering her face.
Get your shorts.
Now, was this staged? Probably. Because she's like, if you bust into a girl's room, what if she was doing something else? You never know.
We're going to see who's fit better.
The son, sitting on the bed, we'll get to him in a second, laughing also.
Get your shorts. Where are they at? Where are your butt covers?
Get your shorts.
Which one?
He's standing there still.
The new ones that we just bought that were supposed to be a lot longer. Get them.
Get your short shorts. Which one?
Put them on.
So she knows exactly what he's talking about. That's why I think this is partly staged.
We're going to see who's shorter. I will pick you up in school every day with these on if you don't put them on.
First of all, who cares? Pick me up from school. You're in a car, you idiot. What, are people going to peer into your window?
Yeah, exactly. Who's your shorter, babe?
So they're both showing their butts to the cam. She can't stop laughing. Oh my god! I didn't see that before. The son runs over. This is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. The son runs over from the bed, sticks his face behind her butt. His sister. You can't do this.
Look,
he's trying to look up her dress, her shorts.
Put these on.
These aren't even that short.
No, neither am I. We should be perfect.
What's his point? I don't get. I mean, I get what you're going. I get what he's trying to say. Like, look how dumb these look on me. You can't be showing that much leg. Fine. If that's your rule, and she's 14 or whatever, and she can't show that much leg, fine. Here's a picture of him and her. And he doesn't look that insanely bad with short shorts. Or maybe I'm just biased because I don't see this stuff anymore. It's not that embarrassing. He didn't shave his legs. Like, that's disgusting. But other than that, it's completely fine. She looks fine, too. Anyway, apparently she threw out the short shorts because of that. Now, let's go back. What's the deal with the kid? His little son is running around completely topless. We're yelling at the girl for showing too much leg, and his son is a little slut going, look at my topless shirt, look at my nipples. I'm a boy, so skinny, not even wearing a shirt. And the girl's the one getting yelled at for her outfit. Yeah, I get it. The kid's not going to go to school without a shirt, probably. But he's still a slut, and Jason Hilly's little boy needs to be shamed. Heard it here first on newswithnick.com. So that's Jason Hilly and his short shorts. And if she's not going to wear those, ship them on over to the P.O. box, I guess, because we can use them here. Next month, a floating nuclear power plant called the Academic Lomoznov will be towed via the northern sea route to its final destination in the Far East, almost two decades in construction. This story is extremely boring. However, I did find it a little interesting just because of how unique it is. Russia's ambition is to bring electric power to a mineral-rich region. Blah, blah, blah. It's a 144-meter-long platform painted in the colors of the Russian flag, and it's going to float next to a small Arctic port in the town of Pevek. It will supply electricity to settlements and companies doing stuff. It is a nuclear reactor on a boat. Floating nuclear power plants could help supply energy to remote areas without long-term commitments or requiring large financial investments into conventional power stations on mostly uninhabitable land. But the concept of a nuclear reactor stationed in the Arctic Sea has drawn criticism from environmentalists. The platform was dubbed Chernobyl on Ice, or Floating Chernobyl, by Greenpeace, even before the public's revived interest in the 1986 catastrophe, thanks to the HBO TV series. The state company in charge of the Russia's nuclear projects has been fighting against the nickname, saying such criticism is ill-founded. It's not totally justified to compare these two projects. They are baseless claims. Just the way the reactors themselves operate work is different. Of course, what happened in Chernobyl cannot happen again. And as it's going to be stationed in the Arctic waters, it will be cooling down constantly. There's no lack of cold water. Good point. Worst case scenario, if the thing does blow up, like Chernobyl, as we all are Chernobyl experts because of the HBO series, it will just blow up into the Arctic ice. What could be better than the radiation just sinking to the bottom of the ocean in Antarctica? Antarctica. Wait, if Antarctica is the opposite of Arctic, never mind, it doesn't matter. So that's occurring. All right, let's speed through some other things. We got a pastor here sentenced to life in prison. He said the 27 months he spent away from his children pending child sex trafficking case is already comparable to a life prison. The former leader of Greater Life Christian Center told a visiting U.S. District Court judge, blah, 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 that he doesn't deserve life in prison for grooming a then 14-year-old girl to have sex with him and then pastors Cordell Jenkins and Kenneth Butler. There were two other pastors in on it. That's not good. I don't deserve life. I don't deserve life, Haynes said during a sermon-like speech. They'd be like, all right, you're dead then. Like I said, I've been doing life for 27 months while I've been away from my children, and this hurts. My need today is for you to have mercy on Anthony Haynes. Wow. He's like, please let me out of jail. And the judge is like, nope. The judge said he felt sympathy for the children. They were not the ones who committed the crime. The judge said he didn't even think such a case could exist. This is disgusting and horrible. All right, let's see what happened. It all started when the teenage girl moved in with the Haynes family in 2014 after her mother could no longer provide adequate care for her, investigators said. My jaw is starting to not function anymore, and I think that's why I can't speak. I'm turning into Joey Chestnut. Haven't done my jaw stretches for that big game tomorrow. You guys excited for the 15th straight Joey Chestnut hot dog eating boring world championships? Nope. Haynes then facilitated the victim to have sex with Jenkins, a leader of the Abundant Life Ministries, and Butler, a Detroit area pastor. They each previously pleaded guilty and have been sentenced, one to life in prison and one to 17 and a half years? For what? Hang on. How old was she? She was like 14 still. Okay, that's pretty bad. But I was like, what did they get life in prison for? For talking to another guy and the other guy going, want to have sex with a girl? And if it's a 14. I always knew I found love, didn't know it'd be with a 14. You guys remember what that's from? Haynes took his case to trial in March, and a federal jury found him guilty of engaging in sex trafficking of a minor. Whoa! That's unfortunate. Two charges for one thing, with a minor and of a minor, sexual exploitation and obstructing a sex trafficking investigation. During the trial, the victim testified claiming Haynes had sex with her at his church, in his vehicle, at motels, and inside a storage area where he worked. There were also photographs of her performing oral sex on him on his phone. Ugh. She also described that she had been taken to the church and a hotel to have sex with Butler, and that she and Jenkins had sex at his church, his home, and at a Red Roof Inn. All righty. Said the pastor had used his position as a pseudo-parent and a clergyman to take advantage of the girl. So, pretty run-of-the-mill situation here. Other than him going into court and going, please, I've already been in for 27 months. This should be it. Here's a video of a TSA attack. Five TSA officers attacked and injured when the suspect, Tyrese Gardner, ran through the TSA checkpoint and just started punching and kicking people. He attempted to rush the security checkpoint at the airport. The attack was unprovoked, according to the TSA. The police report states that Gardner forced his way past the security checkpoint by pushing past other passengers waiting in line, charging through the metal detector into the secure area where he assaulted the TSA screener by punching and knocking her to the ground. All right, let's watch the video. This isn't going to be great for an audio version because it is completely silent. So what occurs at first is that the only thing you can see at the top of the screen is that little scanning booth that you go in and you go, yes, turn. Well, actually, you don't turn. You just put your hands up and the thing goes spins around you. This lady sees that he is running towards it and she tries to body block him inside the scanner. Like, balls to her, I guess. And then he runs through. He's in a red hoodie and he just starts punching all the TSA agents. And my favorite character in all this is this darker gentleman in the TSA. He just sort of is sashaying behind the situation. Now, to his defense, like, what is he going to do? He's not going to, like, try to tackle the guy, because if he tackles the guy, he's going to tackle him into the other agents. Look at this fat TSA lady. She's about to get knocked over, I think. Yep. Like, 8 of them tackling him. So when they say 5 were injured, pretty much I'm sure none of them were severely injured. Maybe one of them got like a bruised ear or something. So that was funny. He's been arrested, held on $1,500 bond, and his next court date is set for June 25th. So you can actually head on over and to his Facebook and say that, hey, heard about you on News with Nick. Let's see if there's any updates to his Facebook page. Nope. Someone on his page says, just know when you see this, these people have no right to judge or bully you. They are obviously miserable already. They have nothing better to do. And some of these people are overgrown ash and just racist. No need to argue with the miserable. Can't wait till you get out. Stay up. When you go to these people's Facebook pages after they've committed a crime, there are so many funny comments. And I don't mean to like be stereotypical, but most of their supporters are always like, yeah, can't wait till you get out, bro. My N-word, you're my best friend. And you just punched a bunch of TSA agents, but whatever. My boy, what is that, his name? Don't do that no more. What was that guy? Oh, I tried to message that guy, Alvin Martin. Alvin. That doesn't seem right. Anyway, I messaged him, and his girlfriend actually picked up and said, who wants to know? And I said, oh, I just run a news podcast. I'd like to know how it's going with the charges that were filed against your boyfriend. No response. Unfortunately, I should probably hit him up again. Like, this was one of those that there was never any updates after he was accused of something. So we don't know, did they get dropped? What's going on? Next story. How many more can we get through before we can go home? There's only like one more. Oh, there's only one more story to go. Does anyone else have anything they want to talk about? It's up to 86 degrees in here. It's not been a great show. We're out of news. There's nothing to talk about. I haven't done anything with my life. Racing tomorrow. We'll blog about that. Mackenzie Lewick. She is the new Molly Tibbetts. Mackenzie Lewick, a 23-year-old University of Utah student, has been missing since June 17th. She disappeared following a Lyft ride from Salt Lake City Airport. She was returning to Utah, blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares. On June 28th, authorities in Salt Lake City confirmed that 31-year-old Ayula Ajaya had been charged in relation to her murder. Investigators in Utah had served a search warrant at his home on June 27th. Police said in a press conference that human remains and charred personal items belonging to her were found in his backyard. Ajay is facing charges of aggravated murder, aggravated kidnapping, obstruction of justice, and desecration of a body. They said in a press release that she was last seen on Monday, June 17th. She was reported missing on June 20th by the family, blah, 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 blah. Let's see if there's anything in the press release that is worthwhile. Oh, nope, that was that's an old press release. So she gets probably burned up in a backyard. So the girl, the guy is arrested, and they're charging him with murder. Now, some news is coming out from people who have spoken to this suspect and have done some work for him. It wasn't the request to build a secret room that made Brian Wolf uneasy. It wasn't questions about what it might take to make the room soundproof. It was when a potential customer asked the self-employed contractor if he would anchor hooks high onto the concrete wall. This is from a story headline. Contractor says suspect in the Lueck killing asked him to build a secret soundproof room in the home. Wow. No. You don't. You do your rooms DIY like Joseph Fritzl. You don't get a contractor on the phone and say, hey, can we get a soundproof, completely inescapable room with bars and chains and a bed? That'd be nice. That'd be great. As soon as he said he wanted to hang hooks above head height, I was like, why do you need big hooks up there? The guy said it was to hang a wine rack. Well, I said, well, I can hang a wine rack and make it look a lot nicer than these big, gaudy hooks. Wolf realized his eerie connection to the Lueck investigation on Thursday afternoon when he saw a picture of investigators excavating parts of a home in the Fair Park neighborhood. I sat down to drink a soda, and I turned on the news. And as soon as I turned it on, his house was there, and my heart just dropped. I'm like, no way. I remembered the blue light in the window and the camera doorbell right there in the corner.
Look inside the House of Horrors, where police say 23-year-old Mackenzie Lueck was murdered. And the backyard, where her body was cremated in a fire pit. This is the back door leading down to the basement, where a contractor says the suspect asked him to build a soundproof room, complete with a secret door, hooks on the concrete wall, and also a fingerprint lock. You can see a table.
A fingerprint lock? He's going high tech here. Nobody's going to get you out of this room unless they've got my fingers.
And chair in the basement, which the accused killer rented out on Airbnb. There's a bench press for weightlifting in another room. The accused killer, Ayula Ajayi, known as AJ, is a bodybuilder. This is the suspect's backyard. Right here is where police dug multiple holes in the ground. It's here where cops say they found charred human tissue matching Mackenzie's DNA.
All right, let's see what the neighbor has to say.
What cameras did he have in the house and where were they placed?
I figured around 8 to 10.
Wow.
But there was one in every single room for sure, but there was several in the master bedroom.
And where were the cameras facing in the master bedroom?
Towards the bed.
She says the accused killer specifically asked her to bring her 12-year-old daughter, Cherish, with her when she cleaned the house. Tara says AJ had a certain charm, but reminded her of notorious serial killer Ted Bundy.
He creeped me out in a Ted Bundy type way. You know, Ted Bundy was very friendly, and that's how he got his victims.
Bundy murdered 5 women around Salt Lake City in the 1970s and lived just 3 miles away from AJ's house.
I just knew in my gut that I should not go back. I could just feel it. I just knew that there was something wrong with it.
All right. That is the contractor in the Mackenzie Lueck trial saying that he had to build a secret room in the basement. Apparently, he turned down the work. He listened to the details. He realized that the person of interest and owner of the home was the same man who'd asked him to customize a hollowed-out area under the front porch into a soundproof, secret, and secure room 3 months ago. He called the plumber, who had referred the homeowner to him, and the plumber confirmed that's the house where they'd both been commissioned to do repair and remodel work in April. Blah, 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 blah. The chat says he was like Ted Bundy, so I decided to bring my 12-year-old over when I cleaned his house. What? Yeah. Like that lady's like, well, your van is creepy scary, but it is raining, so we're going to take a ride home. All right, everyone, head on over to newswithnick.com. Check out the race results to see how I did on July 4th. on the race. Check out the video version of the show. And check out Nick Ryder Tips, where maybe there will be a new video posted there in a couple days or something like that. I really have nothing else to cover right now because that's all the prep I was able to do. News is so boring. Chat, thank you for coming to the show. Sorry it's a little bit on the short side, but I think we did okay. And we're just going to publish this. And subscribe to the feed at newswithnick.com. Bye, everyone.